Farther back than usual. I'm just going to slide it forward. There we go. Better. Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys want to open up your Bibles. So the story we're going to camp out and dig into is Exodus chapter 19 and 20. And I want you to just go back and chew on it. God, what do you want through it? Because my message today, there's a lot of different places in my heart I felt like going. So we're going to just release my notes and say, where you want to go, Lord. But Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. You're so good to us. And we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way in the service today. You just take it wherever you want to go. We start every day with you. We end every day with you. And we just tune our ears into you as we walk with you throughout the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it's so funny. I'm not like, how many people just do not like winter? Like, I'm not like a big winter person because I hate being cold. Like, you get like the neck cramp from being cold. So the only time I like winter is when it's snowing because it's just so pretty. You know what I mean? And it was something, and it was so funny because the opening line of my message is the best thing about the cold is it's snow season. And I woke up this morning and it is just coming down and I went, Lord, thank you. You know, when you're just like here in that vein. I have so many places I want to go. So Lord, just have your way. How many people are just in a season of just re-falling in love with Jesus? I'm just there. I've been there for a while, but like it's, you know, when you're in love with someone, there's a new layer to them because you grow together. You know what I mean? Like you're supposed to marry your best friend and like grow together. And as you grow together, you're learning new things about them because you're growing together, right? You don't stay the same. Like, oh my goodness. Like you know, the day you got married, like you're like, I love this couple over here, but you grew together. Like sometimes I look at people and I'm like, they're in love and you'd have been together a long time because they grew together. They loved each other. And that's the way it's supposed to be with Jesus. Like your closest experience with Jesus is not the first day that you gave your life to Jesus, right? It's supposed to be an everyday kind of love, you know, where you grow together. As we grow, we get to know more of him. And this is kind of, there's two different ways this message could go. And it's so funny it snowed today because when it snows, people that are just hungry for more of God come to church. Because you got every excuse to not come. Or you're on the teaching schedule and we're like, thanks for coming. But you know what I mean? If you come to church when it's kind of one of those weather days, it's because you really want to be here. And it makes a message like I have today go in a totally different direction, and I'm excited about it because we're going to go up to the mountain of just more of God today. I could just cry. Like, he's so good. How many people when you're seeking Jesus, he reveals his goodness. He's so good. And when you get a taste, you know, I've tasted the world. I've tasted religion. Tastes terrible. How many people tasted religion? Like, you know, they grew up in a church where it was just a formula and a method and you got to look a certain way, talk a certain way, and you never felt good enough. That's terrible. That's religion. That's not church. That's not Jesus. It does a lot of damage. But when you seek Jesus, when you really read the Bible and go, Jesus, reveal your heart to me, you start to taste and see his goodness, his kindness, his love, and it makes everything else taste bad. It just does. Like things that used to satisfy you, it just doesn't taste good anymore. It just leaves you empty. And I'm so off my notes already. But there's always more of him. And for those of you, there's a lot of people in the audience today that I respect, that have mentored me, that are my uncles and aunties, that I ask to pray for me when I'm going through a hard time. And what I love is for people that I would consider elders to me, I've watched them grow and see a life of more. You know what I mean? There's just always more. And today, as I'm throwing my notes out right now, can we get hungry for more of God? Can we just not just say that baseline when I gave my life to Jesus and it was really joyful and it was incredible. That's not our baseline. Like there's just more. I really throwing my notes out. I've been getting these. I've been getting these dreams. I've been praying for YCF and praying for our youth ministry. And I am just getting these dreams and these flashes and it's just beautiful. just a church that is just so in love with Jesus. And lives getting changed, families getting changed is who we are, but I just see so much more. And it's only a place we can go if we all just continually fall in love with Jesus every day. Otherwise, it's just a program. It's just another church service. It's just another good message. And I love you guys too much. And I love Jesus too much to play church. How many people went through a season of life where you went to church and it was just playing church? It was just going through the motions, another service order. And it kind of gives you this false sense of, if this is it, I'm kind of good. You know what I mean? Just kind of messes with your view of God. And from where I'm seeing and where we are going, I feel this current. I'm just sharing my heart with you because, you know, who's here today are people that really want to grow and really want to just, like, you might have just come to church for someone else. How many people came to church just so you could love someone else and encourage someone else? Because that's what church is all about. You come just to love one another. We come to meet with him and worship him, right? Like, people that come late, oh, I just miss worship. Breaks my heart. It doesn't anger me. It just breaks my heart. Because I went, that's why we come. We come to worship. So when they're like crawling in the back, it's okay. I just miss worship. My heart went, oh my gosh, you may have missed the most intimate place with God of the entire day. Can we value him? Can we hunger for him? And, you know, I honor our worship team. I'm thankful. They sacrifice their time and they love Jesus. And to put the time, it takes tons of time to put a team together and worship. It's not just about honoring their effort. It's about honoring his presence, you know, where we cannot wait till that first song starts. So the title of my message is Getting Over Your Fear of Heights. Exodus 19 and 20, and I don't know how much my notes I'm actually going to do because I just keep feeling this tug, almost like you ever stand out in the ocean? I've been describing this to some of my friends, my friends that I pray with. And I'm like, you see the ocean and you step out a little deeper and you get to the point where you can start to feel a little bit of a current pull at your feet. You know that feeling? I love that as a kid. Don't you love when you kind of feel the water pull the sand between your toes? Because something's coming. It's a wave. And when you're a kid, you love waves. And what I sense going on in the body of Christ in our church in York County is this, as we go out into the deeper places of prayer and worship, you start to sense, it's not a feeling. I'm a feely person just in my personality, but spiritually, no, I'm not. Like, I'm just, you faith it. I don't feel anything. Like, everybody else is feeling something. I don't feel it. I just, in my heart, know it. You know, how many people like that? Like, maybe did you go through a season you thought you had to feel something to be spiritual? You don't have to feel anything. It's a knowing. It's in faith. So I get out in these deep places of prayer and worship, and it's not this buzzy, tingly. It is just this knowing of, oh, we're getting pulled into some deeper places with him. And he wants to reveal your heart, his heart. There's so much. Where we're going, you guys want to go with me? Because I get bored anywhere else. How many people have been in church long enough where you start to get bored in church? We're not going to get bored in this church. You know why? Because we're going to go where he's going. And he just loves people. Did you know that? What is Christianity? It's taking care of widows and orphans and loving people. And laying your life down for people. And that is who we are. Let us never get caught up in a church service order, huh? Let's just get swept up in him. You guys a little hungry for more right now? Can you kind of know the current of more? Title of the message is Getting Over Our Fear of Heights, because as I'm talking to some people in our church, I am sensing a little bit of a, oof, how do I say this? I'm throwing my notes out because I knew I was going to throw my notes out anyway. As I'm talking to certain people, I'm starting to sense people that are pulling into the more and people that are just content to stay the same. And it hurts my heart because I want them to go where we're going. Do you know what I mean? Because I love them so much. And I don't know how to inspire a hunger for more of Jesus, except for me to just be hungry for more and them to show that there is more. but it hurts my heart sometimes because there's a bit of a apathetic, complacent, they're just okay with playing church. Some of the most amazing volunteers in our church do more, like a servant's heart. You hear me? Like really beautiful hearts, servant's heart, but not in love with Jesus. Bible talks about having a form of godliness, but denying his power. And it hurts my heart because I love and respect them and they're my family. And I want them to go where we're going. Because I love them so much. And they've stood by me in the hardest times of my life. And I've gotten so much wisdom from them. But it's time to go for more. Because I've gotten dreams and flashes of where we're going. And it's so beautiful. Jesus died for people. And the only thing that changes someone's life is the word of God, which is Jesus himself. And also when they can't quite see the word or get in the word, they see him in us. I heard a minister speak. It's a white hot faith. Like you are, it's not just on fire. It is like a glow with love for Jesus. The title of my message is Getting Over Our Fear of Heights, because when we go up to the mountain of meeting with God, it changes you, transforms you. You can't take your idols up to the top of the mountain. You can't take your excuses. And that, I don't want to call it a divide. It's not a division. But in some people that I sense that they are content to just hang out at the bottom of the mountain and play church, and it's hurting my heart. Where's my service? I don't know. It's cold outside. It's snowing. Snow season is ski season. I love it. And I'm always recruiting for a ski buddy because two of my ski buddies tore their ACL. Good luck trying to recruit people. Be like, hey, do you want to come ski with me? My last two tore their ACL, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's so funny when you're trying to get a ski buddy, someone to go have fun with you up the top of the mountain, right? You hear tons of excuses. And it always boils down to a fear of heights. It just does. But at some point, the thrill of the mountain journey will outweigh the fear, and that's how you get up the mountain. Because you're just too bored staying at the bottom of it. So my question to you guys today, because it snowed today, because Jesus just loved me. When does it snow in November? It's very rare, right up here. I went, Lord, we're going some places. And I'm really excited about this church going there with me. You guys want to come with me? It's so much more fun at the top of the mountain than picking our nose at the bottom of it, just going through a service order, playing through our four songs and checking our clock because our crock pot's about to go off at 12 noon. We got to get back. I'm getting hungry. I'm hungry for more of God. Amen? So are we standing at the bottom of the mountain of meeting with God? That is my question today. Maybe you're at this point where you just can't figure out how to get to the top of the mountain. Like, you know there's more. You've heard other people talk about it. Maybe right now I'm talking, you're like, I want that. I want that kind of just love for Jesus. Not emotional. It's not like you have to cry up here at the altar. You be you. We're all different, right? God's wired us different. You know, like, it's funny, different married couples, like, their love looks different than someone else's love, but it's real, right? So it might look different, but you're seeing there's more. And, throwing through all these notes here. You know there's more because you see it in other people's lives sometimes. And I remember going through a really, really dark, hard time in college. And there were three people in my life that showed me a life of more. And all I knew was church. And it was a good church. I love this church. I grew up in it. I saw signs, wonders, miracles. I saw miracles, like transformational healing. But you know, signs and wonders and miracles, they don't really bring you closer to God. It just shows the reality of God in your life, right? But there are three people, one is sitting here today, that showed me there was more. One, her name was Erica Johnson. She's now Erica Molinar. And we were the same age. We were best childhood friends. I was a great church kid, but she knew Jesus. She just knew him. She just talked to him and walked with him. The other person is here today. I'm not going to embarrass them. They don't embarrass. Joanne Garber mentored me. And I remember she was like my safe place. I know. I just say this every once in a while. I'm glad you're here. She was my auntie. And I would just see, she just walked with Jesus. She talked to him. They had conversations. They were best friends. And there was a love. And I went, I want that kind. I want the kind of relationship that Erica Johnson had. I want the kind that Joanne Garber had. And there was a girl at college. Her name was Lizzie. And I was like, she knows Jesus too. And that just said, there is more. And I'm going to seek until I find something that real. And I did. And it's not complicated. Do you know getting to know Jesus and falling in love with him is not about reading a devotional book? It's not about, how do you say this? There's no formula. Do my 10-point plan to get to know Jesus. Because we're all going to get to know him in a different way because we're all different personalities. The number one way to get to know Jesus is obviously through the word. I fell in love with Jesus with the Bible. I was tired of people telling me about Jesus. I wanted to know him for myself because we normally kind of mess the message up along the way anyway. And I would read my Bible and go, Jesus, I just want to know you. I'm reading the Gospel of John right now. I want to encourage you, read the Gospel of John. And a lot of you are like, I got that thing memorized. Well, once you get to that place, that's a dangerous place to be. I've heard people that don't read their Bible anymore because it's the same. You know, I read a couple scriptures in the morning. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, he is his word. And every time you read it, you're going to see a different aspect of him. So I just read it and go, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want to know what your dreams are for the world, for people, and even for myself. But I just want to know you. And it just, certain scriptures just kind of stand out. It's almost like a highlight. You almost, the whole thing blurs because it's morning and you're halfway through your coffee. But one scripture, you're like, you know what? That one's sticking with me. There's something, I don't even know what that means. You ever done, like, read something, you're like, I don't even know what that means, but I feel like God wants to talk to me. And you may just chew on that scripture all day long. Pull it out on your cell phone on the lunch break. Jesus, what are you trying to tell me with this one scripture? That's called meditating. Meditating. I'm going to chew on it, suck every piece of nutrient out of it. Jesus, what are you trying to tell me? You know, getting to know Jesus, to fall in love with him, it is so simple when we make things complicated. We almost need to make it complicated because then we have an excuse to justify our current state. Am I right? But I don't want you to settle for less at the bottom of the mountain. If that's the only thing you get out of this message that I'm throwing out most of my notes for anyway, can we just not be comfortable playing church at the bottom of the mountain where the pastor just tells us what Jesus says? Can that just not be enough for us? It's not about being here at church every single Sunday. It's about being with him every single day. And coming to church going, I'm going to encourage someone today. I'm going to go pray for someone today. I'm going to just worship Jesus and look stupid. You know, sometimes you like do things in worship. Like, you look a little dumb, but I don't care. I'm just going to be with him. There's always more of God to press into. Philippians 3:12-14 says this. Even the great apostle Paul. Now, he's the guy that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. So he's I think he knows Jesus. He didn't actually walk with Jesus physically. Jesus appeared to him and he just spent time not physically with Jesus. And he actually got to know more about Jesus than probably any of the other disciples that physically walked with him because it required faith. Faith tugs at the heart of God, right? So he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament and he said this, not that I have already attained it or am already perfect. Not that I've already arrived, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I have not reached it, but I focus on one thing. Forgetting what lies behind in the past. Oh, that sounds good to me. How many people have made dumb decisions besides me in your past that may have destroyed your life, right? Good thing the Bible says we can forget about it. That does not define me. It's not who I am. It's the past. You know what you do with the past? It gets buried 6 feet under because it stinks and something beautiful grows out of it, like flowers and sunshine and, you know, chipmunks and fun stuff because it's your past. It doesn't mean anything. God will take the stinkiest mess, your garbage, your skeletons in your closet, and he will just grow something beautiful out of it. So forgetting what lies behind us and pushing forward, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize, which is what? blessing, prosperity, a 4-car garage. Oh, what's the prize? Win the prize to which God, toward the goal to win the prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Do you know what the ultimate prize is? Just him. Is he enough for you? I was listening to like a minister and they said that. And I didn't just go, yeah, that's good. I actually had to think about it. And I went, yeah. Because I've tried things that I thought satisfied me, even temporarily, and it still wasn't enough. Still left the ache, the emptiness. Do you know you can have all your ducks in a row and have your little white picket fence house and all your kids sitting around your table holding hands at Thanksgiving and, you know, be the president of the PTA and have a boat. I feel like you've arrived when you have like a bass boat. I actually worked in bass boat fishing apparel. Like, you know, when you get a bass boat, it's like, we have arrived. We got a boat, you know. And did you know that won't satisfy you? It sure is fun, but that doesn't fill me up. He does. He does, right? Come on. You know, life, listen, God created us to walk with him and have adventures in life. Go have adventures. My family loves having adventures. Get a boat, man, and invite some coworker on your boat because they're not going to come to church with you, but they will come on your bass boat, right? And you catch a couple fish and you'd be like, you know who is a really great fisherman? Jesus. Let me tell you, you know, you just weave it in there, then go invite him over and go cook your fish and just talk about what God did in your life. God can use your bass boat. So listen, if you got the extra money, you want to get a bass boat, I support you. And they go really, really fast. Like your cheeks fly back. So nothing wrong with stuff. Just don't let the stuff have you, right? There's nothing wrong with having stuff. God blesses us so we can bless other people, right? Just don't let the stuff have you. Don't let that be your excuse not to come to church every Sunday. Well, you know, it's boat time. There's people in our church that we like don't see all summer because they're going to go, they have a camper. So they go camping at church. And I'm like, well, I just hope you tell everybody about Jesus at your campsite. If you do, to God be all the glory. But if not, maybe you should, you know, put him first. Moving on. I had a nerve on that one. Okay. So Jesus is calling us upward to more of him, to a higher living, joint seated with him. Life above all the drama. How many people just want to live above drama? Drama is the worst. I hate reality TV. Why? Because I work in reality TV sometimes. I'm like, that is not entertaining. It just sucks the life out of you. But he has not called us to live in the mud of drama. He's called us to a higher place, joint seated with him, where there's just peace despite all the craziness going around you. How many people got craziness in your family and in your neighborhood, at your workplace? But we don't have to stay stuck in the mud, sitting in it. You know, some people just like lights. I just like sitting in everybody's drama. It's so much fun in the mud. I'm just going to throw mud at everybody else. It's called mudslinging. You know those people that it's all over their social media and all they do is like, they said this and they said this. I'm like, would you just get out of the mud and just go up with him? To a higher, you're not better. It's not a snobby thing. I'm just so in love with Jesus that your drama doesn't entertain me anymore. Gossip doesn't entertain me anymore. Tell you what, I'm probably going to interrupt you halfway through and I'm just going to pray with you and just invite the peace of the Lord to come in. And I'm just going to joint seat with him. I'm going to just go up into his place and maybe he can pull them up with you sometimes. All right. Joint seated with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says, for Jesus Christ raised us from the dead. With Christ Jesus, we are seated with him in heavenly realms where we are united with Christ Jesus. We're with him. We got nailed to the cross with him. All of our sin and all that junk and all the junk and all the sin stayed at the cross. And we were resurrected to a new life in Christ Jesus. Sounds good because the past stinks, right? And that's so good. Once again, your past does not define you. So it's not about doing things for him. Remember I told you there's kind of two kinds of people that come to church on a Sunday morning when it's bad weather? Because every person has the excuse to stay home and sleep in. But if you're at church, it's because one of two things. You actually really want to grow with the Lord. You actually want to just come to church to encourage someone else. Or you're on a schedule and you can't get out of it. And you've already asked two times to swap out, so you are stuck. And listen, if you're any of those people, I'm just so glad you're here because I like hanging out with family. And I've been the person on the schedule before, okay? But generally speaking, there's an extra hunger and I actually feel that pulling out of me to the point where I just want to go to certain places, but we got to get the foundation. All right. So it is not about doing things for him. It's not about being on a schedule. But it's good because there's things that got to get done, right? True Christianity is taking care of widows and orphans, hurting people. Did you know there's a lot of hurting kids? And no one hugs them and tells them that they're beautiful. Their dad doesn't say, I love you. You get to hang out with them once a month on a Sunday and be Jesus for them. That's why we're in kids ministry. Not because Pastor D guilted you onto the schedule. Because there are people that need to be loved. There are kids that need to know who Jesus is. We don't teach kids religion. We teach kids Jesus. And you know what's so funny? We get on that schedule. It's so simple and not complicated. You'll grow faster than anything as a kids' church teacher. Because we can't teach religion. It's too complicated. Kids don't get it. We teach Jesus. You want to fall in love with Jesus? Go start teaching kids. It gets real simple because it says, Jesus said, if you want to get to know me, come to me like a little kid. It is not about doing things for him. It is about doing life with him. Straight up. It is about, you know, we have people in our church that drive truck. Do you know you can drive truck and talk to Jesus? You get real close. You know, it's so cool to have a job. Maybe you get to, for people that get to do things with their hands, get to build. Like my dad used to build houses, or you get to drive truck. You get to do things where you have some of that extra time. What if you have the hour commute to Baltimore? We get to spend that time with Jesus. Did you know you will get closer just bringing him into your work time than you would probably at church on a Sunday morning? I just dissed myself. That's fine. But if you spend time with him and just start talking to him, maybe put some worship music on your drive. I listen sometimes to the Bible played out loud, the kind of goofy theatrical version because it keeps you from falling asleep. Sometimes it sounds cheesy in the background, but it's God's word. And it's that hanging out with him stuff. You know, like if you're dating someone, you don't have to talk 50 miles. You know, we just talked for 5 hours straight. Did you know you could just sit and they could watch a game and you could hold their hand? And I'm just being with them. And I'm just enjoying them. And God's sometimes like, do you want to just sit in a tree stand with me? And just soak up. I made this stuff. Yeah, you want a buck? Okay, I'll get you a buck. Go pray one in. But you can just be with them hunting. My dad loved to go hunting because he would just tromp through the woods and talk with Jesus. And God would always get him a big buck. It was great. Which is interesting. If you seek God's face and not seek the blessing, you get what's in his hand. If all you do is pray to him and ask him for stuff, that's a really shallow taker relationship with God. But if you'd be with him just to hang out with him, you normally get what's in his hand. It's like grandpas. Grandpas are so great at this because you just want to go sit. My grandpa had these big old Buddha ears. So I'd crawl up on his lap and play with his big old ears. Pop, pop. And he just was fun. And you just hang out with him and he'd read the funnies to you. And then he'd be like, you want to get some ice cream? Don't tell grandma. So, I didn't have to ask for ice cream, right? He just, you know, if there was candy in his pocket, he'd give me candy. What? Not because I asked for it, but just because I liked hanging out with him. If we seek the blessings, we're going to miss the blesser. If we seek the gift, even all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we'll miss to know the giver. And actually, this is where God got me. I've been teaching on gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I heard this one message where just someone's like, you know, we just need to seek the giver, just Jesus. Let's just follow. And I just felt like, you know, sometimes you get off by like 1 degree. You're fine, but when you're off, but like, okay, it's hunting season. I speak the language. I like did 4 years of hunting with my dad. I don't look like it, but I know the stuff and I've butchered deer. But so if you get a compass and you're off by 1 degree, it's not a big deal for, I don't know, maybe a mile. It's not that bad. But if you start walking off by 1 degree for a couple weeks, you're going to be like in a different state. You're going to be on a different mountaintop. And this is where people get weird in church. Because they're just seeking the gift. I took a break from teaching some how to hear the voice of the Lord for you and other people in prophetic gifting. I took a break from my college and career group. And I just taught falling in love with Jesus. And you know what was so funny? I announced what I was doing and I saw disappointment on 4 people's faces. And it went, oh my, I crushed my heart because I went, oh, whenever we get disappointed of the simplicity of a message that is just about Jesus, it really identifies where our heart is. So I was like, I guess I'm going to have to preach Jesus more. Are we seeking the gift? Are we preaching the gifts? Are we preaching him, the giver of the gifts? Amen? But you seek him, you get them both. You just do. So are you fed up with dead works yet? Are you just over it? Like after like, we're just done just playing church. I'm just done. What if that nauseating thought of staying in the same spiritual place for one more year, 2020, makes you so sick in your stomach enough to just go all in? What does all in look like? I don't know, just spending time with him, read his word, turn off Netflix. I love Netflix. I love a good sci-fi Netflix binge. You have no idea. But what if we just, there's a couple shows that came out. I'm like, nope, I'm just pretend like they're not out because I'm in a season right now where I have to stay really, really focused on Jesus. I just have to, for what he's shown me and some dreams and some visions of where we're going as a church. I just decided I just need to turn some of those things off because I'm hungry for more of him than the stuff. The thing when you seek Jesus is there comes truth, right? Jesus, Holy Spirit of truth, right? Holy Spirit, when you start seeking God, the truth starts coming out. It says in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the full truth, the whole truth, and he will declare to you things that will come, things that will happen. The funny thing about when you go up to the mountaintop of meeting with God and you just say, you know what, all the distractions, all the baloney, I'm over it. I'm going to just seek him. Truth starts coming in. It just does. He starts cleaning corners in your life. He's always cleaning the corners of my mouth because so funny. God will use your greatest strength as your greatest weakness. Just foot in mouth all the time apologizing. So, you know, he'll clean your corners. He'll clean up your attitude. It's not what you say. It's how you say it or how you do it. It's not even what you say. It's what you look like while you're doing it. He'll start cleaning things up. The funny thing about going into the higher places of God, just spending more time with him, driving truck with him, washing the dishes with him, changing diapers, doing laundry. Like parents have no time. They have like no time for like 30 years because your kid's going to live in your basement for like 10 of them. So it's fine. You're going to be really busy. So you have to learn how to do life with him. I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. Your kids are going to leave home at 18 and be very successful and get good jobs. Not raise their kids at your house. Amen. Okay. Sorry. Sarcasm. I was like, everybody's like, don't say that. Okay. It happens. Okay. Speak blessings over everybody's kids. Okay. So when you get to that place of hanging out with God, I think there's a reason why we avoid it because we know truth is going to come up. He's going to clean your closet. You ever give somebody a tour of your house? I gave someone a tour recently and they're like, what's in that? I was like, that's storage. I'm not opening that door. That's the storage room. It's like the junk drawer. You know, what drawer? I don't know what you're talking about. It's the messy drawer. It's the messy storage. You know, God will, if you, hey God, let's hang out. You know, when you invite somebody over your house for dinner for the first time, most people give them a tour of the house, you know, just, but you don't take them in the messy room or the basement. God wants to go into your basement and go, hey, guess what? You don't even have to clean this out. I will clean it out for you. Just let me in. That's the best friend. Best friends. My mom's love language is acts of service. So like so I love my mom so much. Like her love language is just do something for her because she's a mom of four kids. She's a pastor. She's so busy. So like do her laundry, clean her house, like just small things like change a light bulb at the church. She's like, thank you so much. You know, cause it doesn't always have that helper around. Where was I at with this statement? I was just laughing because I love my mom so much. She's wonderful. what was he doing? Cleaning house. Oh yeah. Clean, you know, that's it. You know, clean, yeah, a best friend. Like, so great. Like my friend, Erica Molinar, that's a girl at Nanny Grown Up. She had five kids. Like all she could see was diapers for, I don't even know. Like her kids are, she just has a ton of kids. My best friend from high school just told me she's pregnant with her seventh child. They grow big families around here. So they're busy. They don't have a lot of time. So when I would go to Erica's house, the house was not perfect. There we go. This is being recorded. It was not perfect. And I would just talk to her and I'd go clean her dishes because my mom taught me, if you see a need, you jump in. And I hate washing dishes, by the way, because I don't have a dishwasher. But I love my friend and that was going to help her get to just be a mom more. So I would go to her house and I'd just start talking to her and she'd be like, you don't have to do that. I was like, no, I just want to. Clean her dishes. I'd wipe her counters. I'd start folding her clothes because, you know, it's so great if your best friend doesn't say you have to clean up your mess. I'll help you. That's how Jesus is. If you just let him into the messiest places of your life, you don't have to clean up your mess. He's like, I will clean up your crazy. I got you. Just give me some time. Just hang out with me. And while you talk with me, I will clean out your basement and all the creepy things down there. And he just does that. So the other reason why, so people don't like going up. They're scared of heights to spend time with the Lord because they're afraid of certain truths they would like to avoid. But God's like, it's okay. Whatever my light reveals, I will heal. I got you. And the next thing is they're afraid of heights because the bottom of the mountain just feels safer. Just does. What if God calls me to go to Africa? He's not calling me to go to Africa because they do not have hairdryer outlets out there. So I'm not worried about it. But he may ask you to do something messy. Go help somebody. Invite someone. Invite that person at work that you cannot stand. And God's like, hey, I need you to invite him over for Thanksgiving. Are you kidding me? Can they sit at the other end of the table with that other person I can't stand for my family? Nope, you're going to have to sit them right beside you. Fantastic. Something about spending time with the Lord. He will sometimes ask you to do things that your flesh doesn't want to do. Feel safer at the bottom of the mountain because life is hard sometimes. People are messy. Christianity is messy. Jesus hung out with messy people. He hung out with prostitutes and thieves and corrupt people. People that would steal your stuff and take your girlfriend. Like, he didn't hang out with like the cream of the crop, and he loved them. And those are who we're supposed to hang around. It is not the sick. What do they say? It's not the healthy that need the doctor. So the Bible says it's the sick. How do I know someone's walking with God? You put messy people around you. That's when I know you're in love with Jesus. If you like your ducks in a row and everything just perfect and not complicated, you are comfy at the bottom of the mountain. Yep. I'm not going to say anything else. God might kind of pull you into something where he's like, hey, I want you to go try out for the worship team. No one knows I play the drums. I'm going to be on every Sunday and I like to go basketball fishing on Sunday. Well, I want you to go lay your life down for something, you know? Sometimes we don't want to say yes to ministry because it's like walking around with a target on your head the rest of your life. And I'm not talking just being a pastor. I'm just saying yes to Jesus makes you a target at work. How many of you, they found out you're a Christian and all of a sudden work just went to crap? Excuse me, I shouldn't say that. It's youth pastor on me. But how many people, like, you started telling people about Jesus at work and next thing you know, all kinds of drama got kicked up and you kind of came on the chopping block and got targeted? Okay, I know some people's stories, but it happens. And we just don't want to say yes to Jesus on some of the stuff. He likes to clean our house. Clean our attitudes up. Clean up our habits. We have habits. Things we like to do when we feel bad about ourselves. Even good things that are not God things, which is called an idol. When you don't feel good, when you're having a bad day and you go do something and it's not hang out with Jesus, that is an idol in your life. And I'll say this one. This is one I see a lot. As going up to the mountain of hanging out with God a lot, you feel like it's going to be lonely because none of your friends are going there. It is lonely sometimes at the top of the mountain because you can't always hang out and do the same things that you used to do. And I think there's just a season of pruning sometimes where God changes what was used to be friends into ministry. You don't say, well, you're not my friend anymore. You're my ministry. That's just snobby and mean. But you kind of change things in your heart going, okay, this is not someone that builds me up, encourages me, and is not going up the mountain with me, but I'm going to give everything I got that God tells me up the mountain, and I'm going to just overflow into them. But when I'm feeling really down and hurting, if I go hang out with my ministry, they're going to wallow with me and keep me there, and I might go back to some of my bad habits. So I need to redefine in my mind, you are a ministry, therefore I need to go up the mountain and spend time with the Lord before I go spend time with you, right? Because that's what Jesus did. He hung out with messy people, right? But he would pull them up into a higher place. So sometimes things adjust in that mountaintop meeting. So what exactly is he really calling us all to do? Deep down, you really know. What is Jesus asking you to do? He's not asking you to start a ministry and do this and do that. He's not asking you to do stuff for him. He's asking you to be with him. And while you're being with him, you're just going to naturally do stuff. Like, you know, you go grocery shopping and you see some lady with the mascara smear, and you're just gonna pretend like you don't see it, but you know she was crying in her car before she got to the grocery store because her kid just had a meltdown and pooped their pants, and you find out you start a conversation with them, and their husband just left them, and your milk's getting warm in the cart, and you just stop what you're doing, and you go pray with them, and you say, you know what, why don't you come to, I have a Bible study on Wednesday. Oh, I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, why don't you come over to dinner on Tuesday? It's not about doing stuff for him, it's just about being with him. And letting him move through you as you do the normal stuff throughout your day. That's just being on the mountaintop. Did you know that? I just got to hang out with God while I do stuff. It is time to get away from all the distractions and everything that you think satisfies you, but you know really doesn't. and just open up your Bible and say, Jesus, what do you want to talk to me about? Holy Spirit, can you just reveal your heart? What are the dreams that you have for me? What are you dreaming about? And give him a little time. You're like, Sherry, I do not have time. I am a parent. I was like, I get it. But while you're doing what you do, spend some time with him. And like I said, even if you just open up your Bible and just play that Bible app, you know, where it just reads it, but talk to him while you're listening. You got me on this one? Give him space. You know, a lot of people, we are actually so, can I tell you what your idol is for many people? Mine is busyness. I like to be busy. I like to be busy about doing productive, good things because it makes me feel good about myself. And honestly, there's a lot of Christians that just, I can't do that. I'm too busy. I got this going on. I got that going on. Busyness is your idol. Busyness is a mentality. Busyness is an idol. Busyness is a mentality because it makes us feel good about ourselves. I'm just busy, busy, busy all week and do good, 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 good things. And he's like, where am I in the midst of your busyness? Well, I'm doing it for you. That's an idol then, because you're not doing it with me. You're doing it out of obligation. You're doing it to make yourself feel better. That's dangerous. That's called religion. And religion is a killer. I'm nowhere on my notes. This is fun. You know, I don't always have time, quote, to go up to the mountain and spend time with God. But, you know, I got soccer practice. I got to do this. I got to go fix the garage door. You know, I got to get everybody to this PTA meeting, that PTA, blah, 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 blah. And that's what we have pastors for anyway, right? Because they go up to the mountain and then they just tell me what God's going to tell me, right? It saves so much time. I'm all about time management. Like if you can cut a corner to save me time. Like anybody ever met Waze? Waze app is so brilliant. It just tells you all those little shortcuts people don't want you to go through and they want you on the main roads. But I just cut 10 minutes out of my four road trip. We like cutting corners to save us time, right? So why do we love pastors and ministers and your home group leader? Because all I have to do is just show up and they will tell me what God wants to tell me. Give me a prophetic word. What is the calling of God on my life? Send Pastor Moses up the mountain and you tell Moses to tell me what God says. All right. What does God want from me? I haven't even gotten to Exodus 19 through 20. We will end in 15 minutes. Oh gosh, I'm on page 3. This is fantastic. All right. So we're going to blow through some notes. We're going to blow through more notes. All right. Why not? We're not on my message. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right. Exodus 19 through 20. So what happened was this, before you go there, 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12. And this was Elijah on a mountaintop experience to hear God's voice. And so he's like, Elijah's like, I want to hear a message from God. So he goes up to this like mountain and the Lord told Elijah, he says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore through the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. But that was really dramatic and cool, but God wasn't in it. And after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle stillness, a still, small voice. Many of us are looking for something spectacular. We're looking for the tingles and the buzz and an open vision and someone to call me out in a service and read my mail. We want the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. The most supernatural, beautiful thing is just the still, small voice whispering in you. And we miss it because we're too busy to just get quiet. Or how about this? I don't know if that was God, but I'm going to go open up my Bible and go like read some scriptures and it's going to confirm what I think he might be telling me. The most powerful voice is not the booming voice. It's not the pastor telling you what to do. How do you know that about me? Oh my gosh, God's talking to me. The most powerful thing is a still small voice because it requires the greatest trust. Trust is faith. It requires the greatest faith. Faith pleases God. So that still small voice that's tugging at your heart saying, hey, you know what? I want you to invite so-and-so over to Thanksgiving. Hey, you know what? That business you've been dreaming about, Now's the time. Go start it. It requires the deepest trust. It's the most powerful thing. Trust in him. He is his word, right? His word is his will. And it'll always get confirmed through the word. So if we're not spending time in the word of God, we'll miss what his voice sounds like. All right. So Moses, God first revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush. You know this story? Exodus 3:3-4. Basically Moses, I don't know. He kind of had a traumatic childhood. Anybody have one of those dramatic childhoods? Moses, like, his parents wanted him, but they couldn't keep him. A lot of drama around that. They gave him up, probably had a major rejection complex. He gets adopted by kind of crappy parents. And, you know, it all goes to his head. And then he accidentally kills someone. Go read his story. I mean, it's like, okay. And so God actually draws him to the backside of a desert where nothing cool is happening in his life. He left the really cool job to go hang out with God shepherding sheep. So maybe he had buku, like CEO of a major company, and it all just goes to drama. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to start fixing cars. I'm just going to fix cars and get away from the crazy drama and just start talking to God while I'm fixing cars. And the Lord draws him. So Moses, the Lord's trying to get his attention. So Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to him, God called him. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Anyway, he's you know, taking care of sheep, and he sees in the distance this bush that's on fire, but it's not burning. So it's kind of like, that's weird. But you know, when you're so busy, you miss when God's talking to you. You're like, that's weird. I don't know. That one person in the back, I just feel like I should be talking to him, but I got so much to do. As soon as church is over, I got to get the crock pot out and I got to get the game starts. And you know, my grandma wants us to over for lunch and I got too much stuff to do. And I got to get the kids to do the homework, but there's just someone in the back of the church I just kind of feel like I should talk to. I don't have time. I'll pray for them on the drive out. Sometimes we have to turn aside from our busyness. Sometimes we have to turn aside from our daily grind to go tune in to what God wants to talk to us about. Otherwise, we will miss him. So what did God want to get a hold of Moses for? So in Exodus 7:16, basically God told Moses after this, he's like, yo, hey, I want you to go free your people, the Israelites, because they're slaves in Egypt and it's a bad situation. I'm going to use you to free them. So the message he was given, God told Moses, he said, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go so they can worship me in the desert. So he didn't say, go set these people free from slavery so they can just be free. The purpose of freedom was to go meet with God and go worship him. You follow that? Jesus wants to set you free from the sin, the bondage, the depression, the anxiety, the addiction, whatever it is, he wants to set you free. Not so you just are free, what, so you could spend time with him. And so you can go worship God without thinking about all the stupid stuff you did this weekend. He's going to set you free because you're like, even if you did something stupid this weekend, God, forgive me. He loves you so much that he's like, oh, you're already forgiven. I already forgave you. Can you just hang out with me? I know you were an idiot last night. Let's just hang out. Really, God, do you want to talk about it more? No. Did you ask for forgiveness? Yes. Okay. I already forgot about it. I set you free from your junk. I set you free from your past. Even if it was 15 minutes ago, he set you free from it so you can go worship him and not be tormented by all those thoughts of regret and guilt and shame because he took it on the cross. So can you stop? Do you know why there's a lot of people that don't go up front? Because they just don't feel worthy. They don't feel spiritual enough. I'm just not. We just get out of your head and stop overthinking things because God set you free so you could just go worship him. Without beating yourself up in your brain. It's kind of nice. Anybody, I have a personality that beats myself up, kind of perfectionist oriented. So if I mess up, I just play that scenario in my head over and over and over again. And God's like, shut up. I already forgave you. We just stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Just go worship me. So what's the purpose of God's deliverance of Israel? So Israel is a type and a shadow of the modern church. What does that mean? It's an example. So it's not literal, but when you read the Old Testament, you need to read it through the blood of Jesus, read it through the cross. And Israel is like an example of the modern church, okay? So Jesus set us free from the bondage for the slavery to sin, right? So Egypt is slavery. It stinks. How many people have ever been enslaved to something? Like it could be low self-esteem. It could have been abuse. It could have been addiction. It could have been perfectionism. it just haunts you. And Jesus cut every single chain and he set you free. So why did God set the Israelites free? So he could bring them to the desert where there's no distractions, so they could just worship him. Moses headed with Israel to the desert where there's no distractions, where you turned off Netflix and turned your phone on silent and put it on the opposite end of the room, so they could just go up to the mountain and hang out with God and he could reveal himself to them. God did not set the people free to take them to the promised land right away. I got born again so God can just bless me, so I can just, you know, be blessed and stuff like that. He actually uses your blessings to bless other people, but the whole blessing is actually to spend time with him. So Moses, who's a type and shadow of Jesus, Moses sets the Israelites free from their freedom, takes them into the desert where there's no distractions and nothing to do except complain all the time. You ever been in a season where like nothing cool is going on, so you just complain all the time? 2013, it was a bad year for me. So he takes them to go meet with God. So the first stop after freedom from slavery, from bondage, from torment, all that junk, is to go to Mount Sinai just to worship God. And you have to go back and read the story because I have no time. So it's Exodus chapter 19, 1 through 2. Because if you get set free from slavery, from all the junk of your past, but you don't spend time meeting the one that set you free, the blessings will become an idol in your life. You hear me on that one? So we're a faith church. We have Word of Faith roots. What kind of church are we? We're a Jesus church. I believe in the Word of Faith that changed my life, but we are a Jesus type of church. God did not just set you free so you could just get all your blessings and just, you know, live a drama-free life. God set you free to bless you, yes, but it's so you can spend time with him. You got me? So I am going to, Lord God, Father, I just thank you. You help me just end this where it needs to go. In Jesus' name. Moses took his people to meet the promiser before the promised land. This is where the modern church went wrong. We focus so much on the blessings of God, what comes in his hand, we forget about just talking about Jesus. You got me? What is the purpose? Our purpose is to seek God's face and then you get what's in his hand. Because if you get the blessing without the blesser, if you get the promise without walking closely with the promiser, it just becomes an idol. It just becomes one more thing that distracts you from spending time with him. What does it mean to meet with God face to face? Oh, there's so much. Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And afterwards, Moses would return to the camp. But there was a young man who assisted him, Joshua, who would remain behind in the tent of meeting. So what was this? God would want to talk to Moses. And it would give Moses a message or whatever. And Moses' face sometimes shone so much. He just had so much peace and love and joy. He stood out. And it captivated the heart of a younger generation. Some of you are wrestling with maybe kids that aren't walking with God. Maybe a grandkid. And they want nothing to do with church. They don't want anything to do with religion. But what catches their attention is a white hot faith. What catches their attention is when all heck just broke loose at work and you come home and going, this, and this happened. Kids, we're going to go pray. And they don't want to pray with you. That's fine. I'm going to go pray with your mom. I'm going to go. And then the rest of the night there, you just walk in peace. You talk about Jesus like he's your best friend. That catches their attention. Three people in my life talked about Jesus like they were their best friend. And I'm a pastor today because of it. We are not making converts. I am not peddling a sugar-coated gospel of sign up for Jesus and you get out of jail free. Here's your fire insurance. I would like to demonstrate a relationship with God, a white hot faith, because that's the only thing that catches people's attention and it's the only thing that sticks. They don't want to hear you preach. They want to see love when they wrecked the car and got their girlfriend pregnant and lost their job and they got to move in your basement again. And they just want to see that you forgive them and you love them and you see greatness in them. Unconditional love catches the attention of a generation. And that's the only kind of love you can give when you're just walking with Jesus. They may not want to go to church with you, but they want to hang out with you. And when they hang out with you, they hang out with Jesus because you are walking with him. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. So remember, Moses set the Israelites free from Egyptian bondage, right? And he brings them to this mountain to meet with God. And they're all camped out at the bottom of the mountain at church. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. They camped out at Mount Sinai, and God says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings, how I set you, pulled you out of the drama and brought you to myself. Therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own treasure from among the peoples. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, consecrated, set apart to worship God. I have set you free so you can hang out with me and talk to me directly. You don't have to like go talk to God through a priest. You don't have to go to the pastor. You can go to God directly and just hang out with him." Sounds really good, right? A kingdom of priests. Every single person has access to Jesus. Every single person, when you mess up, you don't have to go to your pastor. "Pastor D, I really messed up. Like, I mean, bad. Like, I can't even post about it on Facebook. Can you pray with me?" Did you know you don't have to do that? You can just go, "God, I just really messed up. Jesus, I'm sorry." He's like, "I forgive you. I took it on the cross 2,000 years ago." "Okay, well, then what do you want to talk about, Jesus?" He's like, "I want to talk about how I'm going to use that really dumb mistake that you just did and go help a bunch of other people with it. Are you along for the ride?" You don't have to go to Pastor D for her to tell you that. You can go right to him. Go right to his word. How do we get Egypt out of us? Egypt is a mindset, right? Egypt is the world's way of doing stuff. Egypt is your past defines you. Egypt is once an addict, always an addict. Egypt is a false identity. It's the world's way of doing things. Look in a certain way, talk in a certain way. Egypt is full of idols, of all the distractions and all the good things that takes the place of God in your life. And how we get Egypt out of us is we have to renew our mind. I don't have to have time to teach it, but you go scrub your brain down and you start thinking like Jesus thinks and not the way the world system thinks, not even the way religion thinks. All right, we'll go back to the mountain here. I'm like blowing through this. True heart's desires and good intentions are two different things. You follow me? True heart's desires and good intentions are two different things. Exodus 19, verse 8. So you know what? Remember I read that story about, hey, God said, "Hey, come to the mountain and I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests and we're all going to just get to know each other and we're going to hang out and worship." And you know what the people said? Exodus 19, verse 8. The people were unanimous in their response and says, "Everything God says, we're going to do it." So they got really excited after this amazing message. Pastor D just preached and everybody's like, "Yeah, God, that's awesome. Let's go do that." And they go home. They turn their crock pot off. They serve up dinner. They watch the game. They go do this. They go do that. See you next Sunday. Instead of maybe I'm going to go home and open up my Bible at some point and go, "Hey, what else do you want to talk about? What else do you want to show me?" We get sometimes swept up in the emotions of mental ascent. Mental ascent is smiling and nodding. Amen. Amen. That's a good message. But we don't go up and go be with him. All right, so Exodus 19, 13 through 17, or 13 and 17. So then the trumpets sounded a long blast and they came up to the mountain. And Moses brought the people from the camp to meet with God and they stood at the foot of the mountain, spectating. Well, that's a really high mountain. That's cool. There's like thunder and lightning and all kinds of weird God stuff going on up there. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm just gonna see how this plays out. Verses 18, 19, and 21, it says, "Now the people perceived the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the smoking mountain, and they looked and they trembled with fear and fell back to the back row of the church, stood afar back, and they said to Moses, how about you go speak to us and we will listen? But let not God talk directly to us, lest we die. How about die to yourself? How about, you know, go trash all your idols and invite messy people to Thanksgiving? I don't know. How about I just go to church on Sunday and have Pastor D tell me a really great message and I be a good person and I'll see you on the other side. The people stood afar off as spectators. But Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. The church got scared of the intensity of the presence of God. They decided to stand afar off as spectators, but Moses decided to draw near with God and participate in what he's doing. Good intentions, but when push came to shove, they're staring at this mountain. They chickened out, they backed off, and they got comfy in the distractions, and they made a God that was more convenient and manageable. They watched church on TV. I don't open my Bible. I just listen to TV preachers all the time. I listen to preachers literally probably, I listen about at least, I go to the gym, so at least, I probably listen to about 4 to 5 sermons a week at least. I normally listen to one every morning. I love listening to other people, what God is telling them, right? It inspires me. It normally puts me on a tangent to dig into more. But I'm going to go spend time directly with the Lord and not take Jesus for granted. If we don't keep pushing into more of God, if we don't keep drawing close to God, idols slip in. What happened? Moses went up to the mountain because they were like, yo, it looks messy up there. And I don't know if I want to like clean out my closet and God to go into my basement and stuff. How about you go up there and tell me what God says and I'll just come to church on Sunday and, you know, this will work. So while they stayed at the bottom of the mountain, they actually made an idol, this golden calf. And you can go back and read about it because that was manageable. It was containable. And it stole their relationship with God. What is the good stuff in our life that is manageable, containable, and comfortable that we go to when I'm having a hard day or even a good day instead of just spending time with him? Because God is calling us up the mountain of more of him. Nevin, do you mind going on the stage, or worship team, do you mind heading up there? Why was Israel so afraid of heights? Why are people so uncomfortable in the presence of his glory? Because you can't hide your sin and you can't hide your excuses in the presence of God. And my sense of when I'm talking to people of where we're called to go, we are going up to the mountain as a church. Revival is here. It's not just coming. It's like here. I can feel the current of it. It is so easy to preach the gospel. People hate Christians. They don't like Christians. It is not an easy time in our nation to be a Christian. But it's funny. It's never been easier for me to tell people about Jesus and them to give their life to Jesus. What does that mean? They want Jesus. They want to know him through you. They want to see peace, love, joy, healing, gifts of the Holy Spirit, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom come out of you. That catches their attention, that white hot faith. It has never been easier to tell people about Jesus and for people to give their life to Jesus. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. They just don't want to play church with you. But they'll probably come up to the mountain with you if they taste and see something better in you than just playing church on Sunday. Lord God, what do you want to do? Let's just all stand up. Because what I sense was going on where we're called to go is I would talk to people and I just would hear lots of excuses of why they were satisfied with having a form of godliness but denying his power. Why they were just satisfied with fire insurance. They weren't hungry enough for more. And my heart hurt because I'm going up the mountain and I really want my friends and my family. This is my family. You guys, I'm closer to you than my own blood. I just want us all to go up and spend time with Jesus and him to satisfy us and us to get so full of him that he overflows into the people around us. And I don't want it to just happen at church on Sunday. I didn't know how to do this, but
sometimes when you do an act physically, it causes something to break in you because you have to do something uncomfortable because it requires faith. And there's nothing wrong with sitting in the back row at church, because I know there's a lot of mothers and there's also people that, you know, have some medical conditions. They need to sit on the back row. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's just time for more of God, right? How many people, just raise your hand. I just want all of God I can get. Jesus, I just want more of you. I want to be like Paul, where I'm never satisfied. I just want more, and I just want you to be my best friend, and I want you to be my first love, and I want to get so full of you that my family sees a life of more and comes to know you. So I'm going to ask something really uncomfortable, because it's not about up front. It's not about an altar. It's about doing something that you don't want to do. It's not about emotions. It's about seeking God, because it's inconvenient. It's about taking up your cross and following him. It's about getting up 15 minutes early and going to bed 15 minutes later, turning Netflix off, turning the radio off, and just spending time with God and just say, God, this is all the time I have, but I'm going to give it to you. I have 15 minutes. Take it and multiply. Just talk to me throughout the day. I'm going to tune into you. God, I'm going to read my Bible. I have no idea what it's talking about, but you do. I'm just going to trust that you're going to reveal your heart, Jesus, to me. So I'm going to ask everybody in here to just come forward, because we're just going to sing one song as a demonstration of doing something that is uncomfortable. And you're like, I'm not doing it because everybody else is doing it. It is not about peer pressure. I'm just going to say the sacrifice of doing life differently is just going up to the mountain. This is just a symbol. It's not an emotional thing. I just want you to come forward. And I want you to just talk to Jesus. It's not even about a ministry team or an altar team. I want you to just come forward and just God to say, just say, Jesus, here I am. Search my heart, God. If there is anything unpleasing in me, if there's anything that hurts your heart, if there is anything that I'm going to be satisfied in life apart from you, I just give it to you. I just want us to take all of our golden calves and all of our religion and all of our false loves and all of our stuff and all of our busyness and just say, Jesus, clean my basement out. I'm giving you space. I want more of you. And I want to go the rest of my life not being able to live one day without you. I don't want to live Sunday to Sunday. I just want you.